Hey friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to celebrate the 300th episode of the Radical Radiance Podcast with you today. I cannot believe that it's been over 4 years since I launched the podcast in January of 2020. Let's all just take a moment and think back to what our lives looked like back then versus what they look like now. And we've gone through so much change and we've met so many friends and we've had so many incredible conversations. And I just couldn't have dreamed what God was about to do when I just really sensed that He was putting on my heart to start this thing. And so I'm so excited to celebrate with you today. And I couldn't think of a better way to do that than to reflect a little bit on my very favorite question that I ask every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance Podcast. You know it. It is the question that's based off the verse that God put on my heart as I was launching the podcast. It's from Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, "Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be covered in shame." And so the question I love asking is, what about Jesus makes you radiant? And it's been just really amazing over the last 4 years to hear hundreds of responses to that question and how God is speaking to certain guests and authors and leaders and friends who we're having on the show in their current season of life, and how He is just teaching them more about His character and how that's making them more radiant in Him. And I love thinking about that question myself. And I would say for me, and I've shared this on the show before, I have went through an incredible amount of change since I launched the podcast. When I launched it, me and my husband, Dustin, were living in South Mississippi. We were recently married at that time, got married in May of 2019. And since then until now, we have moved back to East Tennessee, where we're now serving in a new church. And I've written a book and I'm working on my second. And there's been so many joys of the last 4 years. And there've been a lot of challenges too, just as I'm sure if I heard from every one of you listening, you would say the exact same. And I think remembering the character of God and the fact that He is unchanging, that He's immutable in the midst of our lives that do change, is just such an encouragement to me. And the fact that I can think about everything else I know to be true about God, His sovereignty, His power, His wisdom, His presence in our lives, and the fact that all of that is true up against the fact that He will never change, that's just been such an encouragement to me. And I think that has enabled me to radiate Him in what I'm doing in the midst of all of that change. So that's my little reflection on that question in this season of my life in particular. But I wanted you to hear from some of our guests and over the last couple of years and what they have had to say about that question of what about Jesus makes them radiant. So you're going to hear all sorts of voices as you listen to this episode. This is a great one to turn on as you're cleaning the house or you're on a walk or you're in the car on a commute, just to be reminded of so many characteristics about God, so many things that can encourage our hearts as we seek to radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships. And so join me as we are joined by many, many, many of our previous guests on the Radical Radiance Podcast as they answer my very favorite question, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
His tenderness is something that I'm leaning into, and I think that that is what is hopefully going to be radiating and making me radiant, is the tenderness that He offers us as we're learning hard lessons.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the lessons are a hard enough place for us to land or run into. Mm-hmm. It's like hard lessons are like running into a concrete wall. And whenever we fall backwards, we can fall into His tenderness. Mm-hmm. Or if we're in this, you know, lie of comparison, it's like we're being actively robbed. And what do you need after being robbed? A tender place.
Yeah.
You don't need someone who says, well, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. I should not have done that. Yeah. But he's not saying that. He's inviting us in and saying, yeah, just come back to the throne room.
Yeah.
Like, just come back. Just, this morning he said, come here, come here. I've been waiting for this reunion. Mm. That's what he told me this morning. And I think that that tenderness is something that I'm racing towards and radiating.
Mm.
Hopefully.
That I know that no matter what difficult things come down the pike, that he knew they were coming. Whew. And he was planning them out to be there for me and to take care of me, and that he's always working things out for my good.
Mm-hmm.
Bad things are going to happen, but he's there and he'll make sure I'm okay through them.
I love it. I love your podcast. I love the theme. I love it all. I would say I cannot get over the compassion of Christ. His compassion, and compassion is empathy plus action. Yeah. And so wherever we see Christ having compassion on crowds, on people, moving toward us, I mean, that's just what he's been doing since the garden. And I just love it. Yeah. When I think about his compassion, I feel so grateful.
I love that question, by the way. I think that's great. You know, I think his peace, I think in this season particularly, he has given me so much peace in different areas. And I think a lot of times when we think of the word peace, we think, oh, tranquility, you know, just kind of like running water lake or whatever. And we don't necessarily associate that with something being radiant. But I think there is a radiance in the splendor that peace can have and can be given. That in a world of so much chaos and crazy, that peace can exist. And even in my own life with a brain that doesn't seem to want to turn off sometimes, I think just stepping into the radiance of his peace has been such a gift. And so I'm grateful for the portion he gives me of peace. And I'm grateful when I get to share some of that bread with other people too, because ultimately it's him.
I love the name. I love the theme. I love the verse from Psalm 34. And I love thinking about our countenance shining light of Christ, right? He tells us you are salt and light in this world, and there's so much darkness in this world. What a privilege it is, right? To be a light in the darkness. So just first off, I love the whole concept of that. I was thinking about what about Jesus makes me radiant. I feel like when I am, I talked a lot about this in this podcast, but I really think that being dependent upon the Holy Spirit is where it's at in the Christian life. So as I think about walking in the power of the Spirit, taking steps of faith forward into what God has called me to, if we're not really doing that from a place of faith, right? We in weakness, really. God, I don't know if I'm up for this. I don't know if the words I'm going to say are going to make sense, but I'm looking to you. I'm depending upon you. And so I feel like when we're really on mission with the Lord through faith, dependent upon him, he gives us so much joy as we're taking those steps of faith. And so I feel like so the joy of the Lord, I mean, Nehemiah says it's our strength. And I really do feel like he makes us radiant with the joy he gives us as we're abiding in him and walking in him.
You know, a lot of things I could say, but I remember as a young person going through a really difficult time at one point. I was facing some persecution. I was facing some critics, people that just were, for whatever reason, had really had it out to demoralize me. And I was really fighting it, just like trying to figure out what am I going to base my self-worth on? What people say about me, whether they're my friend or not, whether I get included in these parties or activities or not. And I remember one point I was probably a teenager, and I got down on my knees by my bed one day and just said, God, I'm either like going to be suicidal, depressed, I'm going to have a self-esteem that's in the basement somewhere, or I've got to just decide how do I look at my life? And because everybody else thinks that my life's not worth much. And I'll just never forget how very real the love of God became to me in that moment. And God somehow just helped me to understand, you get your worth from me, not That's from right. others. And you get your worth not by how big your house is, your nice your car is, how much money you make, but your relationship with me. And you are always welcome in my presence, and I love you. And I've got a wonderful adventure for you in your life. And I, at that point, it's, you know, I can't say I'm never concerned by what others think of me, but that was very freeing for me at that time. And I just realized, as long as my walk with God is good, then I can't get hung up about other people's opinions and things. And I just remember then, I remember literally coming out of my room that day, just, I've set free. Because if my life and my self-worth was based on other people's opinions, and I might as well end my life, because nobody thought I was worth anything. But I'll tell you what, it's so freeing. And suddenly you realize, you know, people's opinions had kept me kind of in a dark place. And all of a sudden the sun was shining again. And I felt free, and I felt joyful and excited. And wow. God began, people kept telling me I couldn't do anything, and all of a sudden God said, well, just, are you going to listen to them or me? Because I'm telling you, I've got an eternal purpose for you that'll blow you away. And so I've just decided I kind of put all my dreams and visions aside, say, okay, God, whatever you have is good for me. And but even now people ask me, well, what's your vision for your life? What's your long-range vision plan for your ministry or your life? And I'll say, just be right where God wants me to be a long time from now. And just every day just becomes an adventure with him. And so I watched my dad do that, and now I've experienced that, where you just never know every day what God might just have for you. Just keep your spiritual eyes open, and life becomes an adventure. And it might not be the adventure you thought it was going to be, but it'll be good. And so that's what I've learned. And it's, over the years, it's just kept me very positive, whether it's going through a hard time or not. Just knowing, just make your way back into God's presence and stay there for a while, and you can't help but come out radiant after that. Mm.
The Rebecca's Reads book for January is The Joy Bringer Challenge, Living the Power of the Good News by Susan Bowers. We know as followers of Christ that the good news of the gospel changes us, and the source of our joy is in Jesus. But what does it look like to live a life marked by joy? Susan intentionally lays out a roadmap for you to live like the gospel is good news. You don't want to miss it. Go order your copy on Amazon or at the link in the show notes today.
So, in both my sinful and redeemed state, I am full of feelings. And I often struggle with this because I feel like it makes my life so much harder than it needs to be. And so this past week, I was just moved with compassion. And I was in tears, and I was just kind of wondering, what's the point of this? Like, it can feel like a waste of time. It can feel too much and all the things. And when I surrender that feeling to the Lord, he uses it for only good. And here's my example. So the word used for compassion, whenever Jesus was moved with compassion to heal someone and move towards someone in the Gospels, is literally a gut-wrenching love. And so he literally has a gut-wrenching love for us. And I think it's really easy for us to be desensitized by the things going on in the world, the homeless person on the street. Like, we tend to just be jaded and cynical sometimes. And so I can see a lot of feelings as a bad thing, or under the Lord's care, he uses it to help me see others in a way that someone might not. He helps me minister to others in a way that someone that's in a hurry will not. I get to pray with passion. I get to, because I'm so moved by compassion, I will move to action in a way that someone might not. And so I've come to see it in the redeemed state more often, and praise God for that.
I feel like that's a awesome and loaded question, and I can totally answer it like a million ways. As I think about his light, his face shining on me, and shame being taken away. I think, I don't know that this like shows to other people, but just for me internally, God's continued glory and holiness, the fact that he's always worthy of praise, regardless of what I'm doing, regardless of how like I'm succeeding or failing or feel like praising him, the fact that he's just always holy, always worthy, always glorious, like, and even always shining.
Yeah. Yeah.
That excites me. That I feel like on, you know, a gloomy day, whether physically or just circumstantial, that just stirs something in my heart.
Yeah.
That provokes me to keep going, even if that looks like that, even if it's just like internal praise.
Yeah.
You know, even if it looks like laying on my couch for a while, but like internally, I'm like, man, like you are always worthy. Like I love, one of my favorite verses is, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. There is just this otherworldliness about God that is like not comparable to anything else. So it keeps me praising him.
I think right now it's his hope that he gives. And when I think about the dark seasons that all of us go through and the darkness of the world around us, it's often because people don't have hope. And Jesus is the reason we can have hope for the future. And a friend I was talking to a few weeks ago, you know, said, I was making some statement about the future and not knowing what it holds and like struggling to see it as something good. And she said, you know, if Jesus is in your future, then your future is going to be good. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're right. That's the hope, right? The hope isn't about what circumstances look like. It's about who you're with. And so I think for me, it's right now, it's that hope that he brings in my life. That's what makes me radiant. And it's also what I hope to bring to others is the hope that's in him, the light that's in him that can impact us and give us that hope.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to John 16:33 for me, that Jesus overcomes. I mean, his work on the cross is finished. It is complete. And so in him, Jesus overcomes. And through that, what's the awesome, beyond amazing thing is in Romans 8:37, he calls us more than conquerors to in him, more than overcomers. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would say. I love that Jesus overcame and he arms us with his victory today too.
I love that. You know, the thing that comes to mind right now at this season of my life, because I'm so wrapped into stuff I'd only tell God and what he has taught me through that, is his willingness to receive us wherever we are on the journey with whatever questions we have in our mind right now. I think about Thomas. And when I was growing up, doubting Thomas was like not necessarily a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And I was doubting Jennifer, and it felt very shameful. I didn't talk to pastors about it. I didn't talk to my parents about it. I barely talked to my husband about it. It was a secret I carried for a very long time, and it was so burdensome. It felt like there's no life after this. It was just dark.
Yeah.
And when I very scarily and warily began to ask Jesus questions and ask him to reveal himself to me, like kind of like Thomas did, show me the scars until I see your side. Like I want to see all that. He never flinched, and he never flinched with Thomas either. He gave him the opportunity to do that. And so the all-consuming kindness of God when we're doubting anything at all, doubting his existence or doubting his goodness, his overwhelming kindness in receiving that you know, like, come to me, you know, like, look at the scars in my hands and my feet and my side. And I used to resent that I had that kind of doubting. And now it's, I consider it a gift, because it's actually what brought me to the Lord, was the seeking of answers to those questions. So that's just been one of the most it has been the single most transforming aspect of God in my life, because it actually is what drew me into a saving faith.
Well, I'm just falling in love with him more and more. Like, there are just moments, and it's a new thing that he's been working in me these last couple of years, where just sometimes I can't help it, but I just get the biggest smile on my face, because I'm like, just the magnificence of God. I'm just being captivated by him. But again, it's come out of that desperate need of him, of just spending time with him, saying, God, unless you do what only you can do, I can't even begin to do what I need to do. And
I've been reading a lot on Christ's posture of mercy. I read Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. I read another great book called The God Impulse by my friend Jack Alexander. And I think the thing about Jesus that makes me radiant is realizing at a deeper and increasingly deeper level just how much mercy I have been shown through Christ. And I think I display that radiance when I don't outsource mercy, right? But when I personally do mercy and love it. As Micah 6:8 says, right? Because I think that's the temptation, right? It's, well, I can write a check to my church's benevolence fund and they can do mercy. Or I can write a check to my favorite charity and they can do mercy. Jesus himself did mercy. He could have outsourced that to his disciples, but he personally touched people who were hurting, touched people who were lepers, and was merciful to them. And so I've been just wrecked by that. That hasn't been a part of my life for so long, personally doing mercy. And so, man, I'm trying to radiate Christ by personally doing more mercy this year.
Oh, I love that question. I think in the last, I mean, a million attributes of Jesus, right? But I think in the last season, I feel like God has really just been teaching me about his gentleness. And I think that that's something that doesn't always come easily to me. I can be super driven and super passionate, and those are great things. But I think I've just, as I look back over the last year and a half of our transition to the United States, I feel like I put a lot of pressure and expectation on myself. And I feel like as I've had conversations with Jesus about that, he's been very clear that that pressure and those expectations were not put on me by him. And he's just been very gentle with me and very tender in allowing me to transition slowly and in speaking over me that it's okay to feel sad and it's okay to feel discouraged when things are hard. And so I think I've known his gentleness and his tenderness in a new way. And I think just experiencing that personally and then looking, I've been really actively looking for that attribute of his in stories that I see in scripture, just because he's made it so real to me in this season. And so, I love that about Jesus. I love that there's just never a time when we are going to fully know all of the wonderful aspects of his character, and that we can just keep growing and keep learning more about him. And I think that that in itself makes us radiant.
I love about my Jesus that he loves small things. Small beginnings, small people. He loved children. If he created all things, that means he loves small flowers. You know, my yard has weeds in it that are weeds and they're annoying, but you look at them and they're flowers. It's like, it's a weed. How could it be worthy of the dignity of beauty, even though it's a weed? You would say it's worth that. He is grand and big. And I can see that in the constellations and in, you know, the mountain range, but he loves small things. And he is pleased to let them grow without a lot of eyes on them. And that makes him happy. And yeah. if that's who he is, then I feel really loved because my life is full of small things. You know, emails I send to one person and conversations I have with one neighbor. And they're not big and flashy and no one will hear about it. And moments of sitting on the floor with a disobedient toddler, you know, and those are small things, but he loves small things. And that really brings me a lot of joy right now. That is the season I'm in.
You know, the phrase that came to mind, that I did not plan this ahead of time, actually, but the phrase that just came to mind when you were talking is salt water. And what I mean by that is I think I've, for the last almost for a year to the day, been walking through a season where there's just been a lot of salt water in my life, mostly in the form of tears or walking out by the water by our house, spending a lot of time having hard conversations with God of like, how much longer, you know, how much longer till all of these things that you have said start to come true. And, you know, I guess just sort of like that visual of the song Oceans, you know, the Spirit lead me where my trust is, you know, without borders, where we can walk upon the water, whatever. And so what is making me radiant is like, you know, don't underestimate what some good salt water, some good tears and actually being by the water can do for that glow. You glow differently when you spend a little time with salt water and Jesus.
That's great. You know what? I when I hear the word radiate, I think of light. And the times where light stands out the most is when it's dark. And can I just tell you, I love light so much. I love walking in the light so much more. I don't like walking through the woods at night. I'd rather walk through the woods during the day. But I feel like that the times where God is able to show himself the most in my life is when things are darkest around me. And so we're walking through the third battle of cancer right now. I'm out on the road celebrating a book, celebrating a record, and missing my wife and three kids like crazy right now. But I do know that whenever I am able to shout all the more of the faithfulness of God when things really are hard, but knowing that he has given me this resolve, it's the time where more people gather near and want to walk in that light as well. Again, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the Gospels, it also says, whenever I am lifted up, I will draw men to myself. So it's not about me lifting up a book or lifting up a record or lifting up my name or lifting up my achievements. It's me saying, Jesus, if I can hold you up the highest, the light reaches into the darkness a whole lot more. It doesn't matter if my arms are hurting, like Moses having to be propped up so he can hold up and just hold so that they can continue on in the battle they're in, right? But it's about me just saying, Jesus, whatever that looks like today, I'm going to be faithful to what you put in front of me. And that faithfulness shines a light into a darkness like nothing else can.
I feel like it's Jesus in me that helps me see the root of the matter, the heart issue. I can't tell you the number of times in counseling and even just podcasting and things that somebody is talking and I'm just, Jesus will just show me, okay, this is what's happening. And he gives me great questions to ask that brings out the heart of the matter. And I love that. And I know it's in him in me. I'm like, I can't take credit for that. That's him in me.
This is a good question. What about Jesus makes me radiant? Oh gosh. You know, I think I will say, I hope, I don't know. There's no wrong answer to this, right?
There's no wrong answer to this.
I think I'll say the way that I see the world. I've always been like a deep thinker, always lost in my head. Always kind of like I talked about earlier, that editor a little bit more than a writer, always kind of seeing the bad and kind of hinging on it and just very critical eye, very like, well, you know, how can we fix this? Where's the problem? And I think for so long, so much of my life that either, you know, I didn't use that the right way, and maybe did see things with, not a hopeful, eye. Or, you know, the other side of that was, you know, maybe it wasn't cultivated and there wasn't, I didn't find those spaces where I could use that gift and use that eye. But as of recently, I really have started thinking like, okay, Lord, you are helping me to see these places that are hurt or there's brokenness or there's darkness. And it's not to stay there and to highlight those things, but it is to bring light and to bring hope. And I just think of like, you know, radiant is shining, it's bright, it's shimmering. And so I think that that perspective is something that makes me radiant. And I, and part of my testimony is that I prayed for that. I remember very clearly as a teenage girl saying, God, give me eyes to see the world the way that you do. Give me a heart to love the world the way that you do. And he has answered that prayer. And and so I claim that perspective and that makes me radiant in how then I can help people, you know. So
I think if there's anything radiant about me, it is Jesus. So because he is everything good and wonderful. So when I study my Bible in the mornings, when I have my devotions, when I get up and I pray and talk to him and I read my Bible and spend time with him, then my hope and prayer is that people can see the difference. And when I haven't done that, I feel discouraged. And you can probably see it on my face, you know, if I'm down or I'm scared or whatever. And but when I keep my face on Jesus, when I'm looking at Jesus and not my heart pain or my difficulties or whatever it is, then my face would show that radiance, or my life, my actions, the things that I'm doing in the home or in front of people. Hopefully it's because I've kept my eyes on Jesus. And I think it's important for all of us when we see things that are just disastrous, especially in America, but all over the world. We know it because we look at what's happening in the news here, but the things that are happening, you just can't believe it, where right is wrong and wrong is right now. And there's so many things to terrify us, to make us mad, to want us to hide in our homes, you know, to just be ticked off like everybody else in the world. But we have something different. We have the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. So when we spend time with Jesus, when we put our focus on Jesus, that even though the world is melting down, but I know who sits on the throne, who's in charge, and that's who's coming back, then nothing should rattle us. We should keep that radiant face, that radiant act, our actions, our heart, everything, that there's no trial too horrible that he can't take care of. And I'm a living testimony of that. I mean, laying on the gurney dying and God brought me back. But while I was, I had total peace, because the Holy Spirit was inside of me. So even in tragic moments, he is with you and can radiate through you. So,
you know, I think the fact that he said, and lo, I will be with you always, he didn't say that your life will always be easy. He just said, I'll always be with you. And he didn't say your life would never sail through a storm. He just said, I'll be in the boat with you when you do face the storm. And, you know, it's just hard not to be radiant when you know that no matter what you face, you just look to your side and there's Jesus right there, perfectly calm, perfectly joyful, perfectly peaceful, saying, we've got this, or I've got this. You just stay close to me. And when I start worrying, when I start fretting, if I ever become anxious, I realize I've forgotten who's going with me, who said he'd never leave me or forsake me. And I don't know how you can't be radiant when you know that, every time you reach out, there he is, right there where he said he would be. And so that's what he promised. We get disappointed when we face hardship. He never promised there wouldn't be hardship. He just promised that we'd never face anything that in his strength we couldn't be overcomers.
That's right.
And as we faced it. And so, that's, cause there's certainly been challenging times and, disappointing times from a human perspective, but at the end of the day, I look and I realize, but God said I can enjoy him every day. And I had a friend one time that really challenged me. He was asking me how things were going, and I was telling him all the stuff I was doing for God. and all the service I was doing for God. And he just asked me, but are you enjoying God?
Wow.
And I didn't know how, I'd never been asked that before. And I thought, well, I serve him. I believe in him. I fight for him. But I don't know if I was enjoying him. And I realized he's with me all the time. And I think that's really what he desires, is not just call him in every time I'm facing a problem, but just enjoy the journey with him day by day.
I think for me, keeping Jesus at the center of my life really helps me radiate him. It's easy for me to run to my husband or even my children, my mom, my sister. I have great relationships that I love very dearly. And it's easy for me to come to a point where I run to other people and pour out my heart and talk through things and all of that. What has helped me is to step away, not from the relationships, but from that pouring out of my heart. And when I've been in this hard season, I have journaled so much.
Yeah.
And it's more, if you look, flip through, it would be more prayers to God and things that I want to say to God. And I've been honest and I've been angry and I've been hurt and I've been rejoicing. I've been happy. I've just shared it all and I write it out, or sometimes I will just pray. And keeping Jesus sort of that center helped all the rest of my life kind of fit into place. And when he's not, I can feel it. I can feel it when I've you know, tried to fill it up with something else or someone else.
Yeah. When I think about this question, the first passage that comes to mind is in Luke 7. And I talk about this passage in the book, but Luke 7, when it's the sinful woman who is forgiven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she walks into this dinner party and, you know, and she's wetting Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And she is a sinner. She's a sinful woman. And, you know, at the end of the story, you know, Jesus forgives her and he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is such a picture of that radical radiance, that looking at the face of Jesus and being so overwhelmed by the forgiveness and the grace that he offers, that shame has no place.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that has been a beautiful picture of, if I truly believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, shame has no place in my life, no matter what happens, whether I fail or whether somebody else thinks I failed or whatever the case may be, I do not have to carry shame because Jesus has forgiven. Like, it is finished. It really is finished.
Yeah.
And there is a joy and a peace and a freedom, I think, that comes with that, that the Lord has been teaching me over the course of years and has been really, really freeing in my own life.
Favorite question. This is one of my favorite parts of your show. Love just this whole show, but this always encourages me to hear what people say, and I'm honored to get to answer it myself. So, you know, I know we've talked about it a lot in this conversation, but I just keep coming back to it. It's Jesus's strength in my weakness. Yeah. And even Jesus's strength in the days that I feel really strong. Jesus's strength makes me radiant. He sustains me. And I just keep coming back to that because I'm just in this season of just a lot of exhaustion. And even in seasons where I'm fully rested, his strength is the one that sustains me. And if I start kind of leaning away from that, then I start believing all these lies that I'm enough on my own. And then I'm back into exhaustion. I'm out of pace with God. And so just, I love that Jesus keeps us in a place of constant need, because then it shows his strength and weakness. So that is what I would share with you guys today. I love that.
That's such a good question. Again, I think it comes back to this concept of living slower. I think that, you know, think about Jesus when he was doing his 3 years of ministry. He stepped away and he took naps. And he rested, and, you know, he spent time with people. Yes, of course. He had his few close friends. He didn't try and be all things to all people. Like, I think a lot of us, especially women, try and do all things and be all things. So the biggest radiance is recognizing boundaries like Jesus did. And truly being able to take that time to rest and be filled back up so that we're not running on empty.
What about him makes me radiant? I became a Christian at the age of 22.
Okay.
And so I did not grow up in church. And so what about Jesus is his gift of salvation. I have a love and a heart and a desire to help people know him. Mm. And I know that's because of, well, there's no doubt. I saw how radically he changed my heart, my life, the trajectory of my life. And I have this treasure, the best news in the world, and I want to give it away, share it. And so that is what I've, since that time, that's what I have been attempting to shine is Jesus to a broken world. And to so he radiates just saving grace to me. Mm. And my prayer is that I can then radiate his gospel to those who are around me.
Yes. I have a lot of people that ask me, Wendy, how did you get so passionate about God's word or love him so much? And in a way, I guess they're asking me, I mean, if they can see it and not just hear it, how'd you get so radiant?
Yeah.
And I would say, I think that I must have needed Jesus to save me more than maybe anyone else. Because I was like the woman with the issue of blood, and I elbowed my way through the masses and I grabbed hold of the hem of his garment, and his power and his light and his life and his presence flooded my innermost being. And I do believe it shoots out my pores. Absolutely. Yeah. But because of that, I'm never letting go. I'm never letting go. And so I guess I would say, if you are right now in this season, hanging on by just a thread, just make sure that that thread is connected to the hem of his garment. That's and right. Don't let go. And one of the ways you can really open up that intimacy and hold on tight is by holding on tight to your word, God's word. And if you don't know where to start, I invite you to consider those questions with me in the pages of the 40-Day Feast, or just open it up. Open it up to Genesis. Open it up to Matthew. Open it up to John. And then slowly, don't binge this one, savor the flavor as you go, because you don't want to just ingest. You want to digest too. That's and the right. Holy Spirit who wrote the word will help you enliven your heart and your mind to understand it. And I speak that over you as a promise and a blessing.
Yeah. I actually listened to your podcast. I'm an audience member myself.
So I love it.
So I have to admit that I thought about this before. What about Jesus? There's a lot, but one thing that I would say is his heart for the lowly. Because God, Jesus spent so much time seeing and loving the lowly, and not just that, but taking it so many steps farther and becoming the lowly himself. And he didn't have to do that. And he could have come as the king, he could have come as the conqueror, and he will. But when he came first, he came as the lowly. And because of that, it's this open invitation to all of us to have this level playing field, because the truth is that whether we think we are or not, we're all lowly, we're all sinners, we're all humanity. And sometimes we want to live like that's not true, but we're all lowly in need of a savior. And so Jesus's heart for the lowly reminds me that he sees me, but it also reminds me to see others in light of that perspective and to love them in light of that perspective.
A hope this episode has been such an encouragement to you. And if it has, would you consider sharing the Radical Radiance podcast with a friend or maybe 10? As we celebrate this 300th episode, I would just love for the podcast to get into as many hands as possible, for us to encourage as many hearts to seek Jesus and learn more about his character, so that that will enable them to radiate him in their life, work, and relationships. I just want that for each listener of the show, and I would love for you to help me in sharing it with other people. So if there are friends that came to mind as you were listening to this episode that you think would be encouraged by the podcast, this episode, or any of the 299 other conversations that we've had over the last 4 years, I would love for you to share it with some friends. We'll be back next week for another amazing episode, and I can't wait to chat with you then.